Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the books, ESPN college baseball announcer, will join us. We will do a bunch of baseball. I've been doing a lot of NBA, and I'll do a little NBA off the top here. We are recording this before Spurs Thunder game 5. I would hope that the next time we do a show on Friday, we will have a game 6 to react to. That part I know, and we will possibly, and I hope probably, have a game 7 to preview. So a Saturday night game 7 between the Spurs and the Thunder would be awesome. Let's hope that is the case. And unless you got bets, I'm sure a lot of people are rooting for that to be the case. But I'll get to some baseball here in a minute. Just quickly on the basketball, the Knicks on Monday night, man, the name of this podcast Should Have Bet More. That was a classic example. And I was texting a bunch of people. I'm sure people listening had the same thought or feeling. How did you not see that coming on Monday night? The Knicks absolutely roll the Cavs. Cavs are up like 5 or 6 points early. I said, all right, maybe the Cavs are going to show up here. And the Knicks just absolutely obliterate the Cavs. You know, Doug Kazarian, who we had on, said he would have made it 5. The line was 1 or 2. You know, everyone seemed to love the Knicks. And sometimes it's too easy. Everybody's on the same game and it loses. But you know what? Sometimes everybody wins. And that was just one of those games where it looked too good to be true, but that wasn't the case. It was really good. And the Knicks on their way to the finals. I will say this, though. I've heard a lot of people in the past couple of days, and look, happy for the Knicks. It's fun in the NBA when teams win because it's such a hard sport to win, and it's so hopeless if you don't have one of the 5 or 10 best players. It's just a very hard sport to win. You got to get lucky, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency. You got to have some luck. I mean, look at the Spurs. They luck into Wembanyama. Castle drops to them at 4. Yes, it was smart drafting. Harper, they get the second pick there. I mean, a lot of it is lottery luck. Or if you're OKC, yeah, and yes, they did their part, these teams, the Spurs and the Thunder, in terms of being smart and drafting correctly. I mean, SGA, 2-time MVP, the 13th pick. That's and he wasn't their pick. But, you know, they've scouted and identified and developed talent well. But they got lucky in that the Clippers got desperate and made that ridiculous Paul George trade with all of those assets, which really shaped the OKC future. So when it's fun to see these teams win just because it's so hard. So congrats to the Knicks. Detailed it Monday, just the long climb back from irrelevance to where they are now. But I will say, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing in the last couple of days, and something along the lines of, you know, nobody's given the Knicks a chance against the West, but I think they have a chance. Thinking they have a chance is no longer the contrarian opinion. They have destroyed everyone for a month now. They've won 11 straight games, most of them lopsided. I know it has not been the stealthiest competition, but they are going to go in the finals very live against a West team who's good, but beat up coming off a long series. So this idea that, hey, I'm giving the Knicks a chance, nobody else is. A lot of people are giving the Knicks a chance, and I do wonder a couple things. Are they a little too trendy heading into the finals? We'll have a long time to break it down as they don't start till Wednesday, June 3rd. Are they a little too trendy? Reminds me a little bit a couple years ago, Dallas and Boston, where everyone, not everyone, but plenty of people said, hey, they got Luka, Dallas does. Luka's going to be the best player in the series. Boston hasn't done this. And there was all these reasoning behind why Dallas was a live dog. And sometimes these trendy public dogs are, as our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica, says, sometimes these dogs have fleas. And Dallas was one a couple years ago. I wonder if the Knicks are just going to be a little too trendy. And the other thing it reminded me of, the 4 times the Warriors and Cavs played in the finals, 4 straight years, and it's hard to believe there was a finals matchup that was the same for 4 straight years. It seemed like every year Cleveland would go into Golden State those first couple games, and they'd beat up on the weak East. They'd go into Golden State, and they would not only lose, they got clobbered. They won 1 game the first year, 2015 Warriors. 1 game won, I think, in overtime, then lost game 2. That game might have gone to overtime, too. But Warriors were kind of young, and it was new to them, the finals. LeBron had the experience. But the other times, even the series Cleveland won, they would go into Golden State the first 2 games, and Golden State always hosted the first 2 games, and Golden State would just smack them. And they'd have home court, and it would be a reminder that, oh, yeah, the West is much better than the East. I wonder if there's a little possibility of that. Now, I give the Knicks a shot. I think it'll be a long series, whoever comes out. But I do wonder if there's that element of everyone's picking the Knicks. Everyone loves the story. Everyone, they've destroyed everyone. I wonder if game 1 and game 2 is a little bit of a reminder, game 1 especially, of, oh, the West is just a little bit better than the East, more than we realize. I wonder if there's an aspect of that coming here. But should be fun. Should be a good final regardless. Having the Knicks in it will have a lot of juice. And then we'll see who comes out of Spurs Thunder here and take it from there. So we'll do a little baseball with Jensen Lewis in a minute. The one bet I added, you can check out my column for FoxSports.com. Yankees, as I'm recording this, minus 140 to win the division, to win the AL East. It's just a minus 170, minus 180, FanDuel, other places. I think that 140 is playable. I know you're tying up your money for a long time. 3.5 games out going into play on Tuesday. And it's funny, the Yankees, for a season that's only 2 months long, they've had a lot of highs and lows. They start out 7-1. They lose 6 out of 7. They win 16 out of 19. They lose 11 out of 15. They've won two in a row coming into Tuesday night with Schlittler on the mound. Maybe this is another peak where they rip off, 13 out of 17, something like that. And I would not be surprised. Get a walk-off win on Sunday. Get a come-from-behind win after surrendering the lead on Monday on Memorial Day. Volpe got a big hit. Judge hit the walk-off homer on Sunday. I think that, first off, there's 108 games left. They're 3.5 games out. They get Cole back. They have Cole back. They have Rodon back. You wonder now, maybe they can catch Tampa. I think they can catch Tampa, but I think the 140 is kind of cheap. I think it's kind of playable here for the Yanks. Cole looked pretty good his first time out. It was hit 98. Didn't have a ton of strikeouts, but he was effective. Rodon and Schlittler. I know Freed's not healthy. You figure you get him back at some point, you would think. I don't buy this idea that they're going to get Scooble. That's just not their MO anymore. With George Steinbrenner, they would get all these guys whether they need him or not. And I don't even think Scooble's, I don't say he's not a fit because he would help anybody. He's great. He's as good as anyone in the sport when he's healthy. But that's just when you got Cole, you got Schlittler, you hope to have Freed back, you've got enough pitching. I mean, I just don't see them going down that road and giving what it would take. Obviously, that would change the landscape of their team if you could throw him in game one of a series if he's healthy, but I just don't see them going down that road. But I do think they're a good bet to win the division. Tampa 8-1 in one-run games, the run differential, a lot of things. There's just so much baseball left. With 108 games, 3.5 games to make up is really not that big of a deal. Not that the Yankees are a perfect team. They've got holes in the lineup. They've got guys in the bullpen you don't trust, a lot of them, including the closer, but I think the Yankees at 140 is a bet I would make. We'll see what kind of bets Jensen Lewis would make. We'll get his thoughts. MLB, awards, futures. Where's Scooble going to go? Where's Yordan Alvarez going to go? College baseball, NCAA tournament is about to start. I know he's covering it. He's got thoughts. He's got bets. We will talk to him next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. VSiN by the books, ESPN. He joins us now. It is VSiN's closer. He's basically the Mariano Rivera of VSiN. He is Jensen Lewis. Jensen, what's up, man? Great time of the year. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, buddy. Great to be with you. And you're so right. We get College World Series postseason starting now, and obviously a couple of months into the Major League season as well.
Yep, and we will get to all that. By the way, did you ever, was Mariano a guy, because you guys crossed over, you played at the same time, was that a guy even big league ball players kind of like idolized? Did you ever interact with Mariano?
Yeah, the great part, Mo is so nice. With the aura and the mystique, he could not have been a nicer guy as far as approachable, would talk to anybody, would sign, for players, you just send it over some balls with the clubby and he'd sign it, I think, the first or second day of a series. And, again, you're at that time where it's just star after star on that Yankee roster. So obviously the pitch that we all knew was coming for 20 plus years, no one could hit it. And, just watching him throw, we opened new Yankee Stadium. You're talking to the guy who has the first loss as a visiting pitcher in new Yankee Stadium history, and watching him come in and just do it at the back end of his career. Will, I mean, it was so easy, even high, 80s, low 90s. He was remarkable, but a lot of fun seeing those guys. And of course, going head to head with the Pinstripers as well.
Was that a Friday afternoon game that when Yankee Stadium opened?
Feels like, because Thursday when we opened it, we beat the absolute crap out of them. And then that next day was an eighth inning. Jeter hit a go-ahead solo homer off me, and then Rivera came in and closed it out. I still think, and I protest to this day, that there was fan interference in right field, and it should have been called back. But after the trouncing we gave them the day before, I don't think any umpire was getting in the way of having the Yankees try and get that first win across in the new building.
And famously, before we move to other things, famously too, Rivera and I guess I think it was in an All-Star game, kind of taught Roy Halladay, the late, great Roy Halladay, his cutter. And I remember guys on the Yankees, like Jeter and some of these guys, like, dude, what are you doing? Why? I mean, and it's great that you're being nice, but now we got to go up, and this guy who's already great has a new pitch. And that's just, that was kind of how Mariano was or is.
Absolutely. He sure was.
All right. Before we get to some college, I'll start with Major League Baseball. There's a lot going on. I'll start here. I actually bet and think, gave this out, wrote this for Fox. Yankees right now, -140 at DraftKings to win the AL East. They're 3.5 games out. The run differential, maybe you could talk me into Tampa is this year's Toronto, but they're +38 in runs. They're 8-1 in one-run games. It just feels like the Yankees, I know Fried's not healthy right now, but with Cole back, with Rodon back, 108 games left in the season as we're recording this, it just feels like that's enough runway and room here for the Yankees with all their talent to run down Tampa and win this division. I like the price at -140. Agree, disagree where you're at here with the Yanks?
I don't blame you there, because when you think about just where they are, as far as a staff, third right now in pitching wins above replacement, only behind Philly and the LA Dodgers. And as you said, not even at full strength, trying to get Fried back. Of course, Gerrit Cole now rejoining the rotation. Well, it feels like an embarrassment of riches, right? I mean, that's as deep a starting rotation as you're going to find probably outside of Seattle in the American League. So I would absolutely believe that at some point, this offense, at least from the back of the order, will probably get some more contributions. That being said, only the Dodgers have a better team offensive wins above replacement than the Yankees right now. And that's kind of mind-boggling when you think that it feels like it's been Ben Rice, Judge, and Cody Bellinger, I guess the trio carrying them for the majority of this season thus far. So that should be a scary proposition for the rest of the American League East. And as you mentioned, kind of that runway, that there's not enough breathing room, I think, for Tampa, unless they go get some more reinforcements across the board to be able to hold off the Yankees from overtaking them.
What right now, if I just gave you the floor and said, hey, one Major League Baseball bet you would bet that you would recommend, award, future, win total, division, what is there anything that jumps out and says, hey, this number right here, right now is still a very good bet? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah. What's remarkable, Bobby Witt Jr. is having an unbelievable year. And I know right now we still are looking at Judge as, the leader in that American League MVP, but my God, there's no one that's above a 3, let alone close to a 3.5 WAR the way that Bobby Witt Jr. is right now. Corbin Carroll, for what it's worth, is next closest in the National League and even second overall at 2.9, Bobby Witt Jr. at 3.4. Are we going to get voter fatigue here with Judge? If he hits 50 homers, it's hard to look past because of all the other things he does really well. That being said, maybe this is finally the year, and I would hope that if the Royals bounce back, and it's been dreadful for them in many regards, maybe Bobby Witt Jr. is worth a stab in the American League MVP. I got to tell you, I am fascinated by the National League Cy Young race. Christopher Sanchez has been on an absolute roll. Jacob Mizorowski now just sitting 100, 102 for half or three quarters of his starts. You're not going to be able to hit him. I know you had an ad. Remind me again, it's Kyle Harrison, I think, that you might have taken a stab on from the Brewer staff as well. But I think we might get a four-horse race in there. I think you have to respect, what Sanchez has done, Mizorowski. Skeens, I think, will rebound here a little bit. I still think the Pirates are a playoff team. So I think I would take a stab, too, at the Pirates. If you haven't played them to make the playoffs, they were my final wild card selection. I still think they got enough to get it done.
Yeah, and Harrison, and he's pitching Tuesday night. By the time people listen to this, he'll have another start under his belt. His next couple starts, Rockies and Giants. I just thought the number, with his stats and the number, the odds just didn't add up at 75-1. And, I think the odds movement backed that up, because by the time he threw another pitch, he's like 30-35-1, which I think is more of a fair price, not like cutting in line to bet 30-35-1 with all the other candidates. But, you brought it up. What a great – I can't remember any awards race in any league that's this deep, just stacked, exciting. Skeens, probably the best pitcher in the sport. Sanchez has been unbelievable. Sale, nobody really talks about, has been about as good as any of these guys. Throwing Mizorowski, Ohtani, oh, by the way, sub-1 ERA, Mason Miller, and then you got a bunch of other talented pitchers. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, a lot of it comes down to health, but, man, just an absolute loaded race. Whoever wins this will have earned it, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And thinking of the American League, too, now with Scooble being out, essentially you eliminate him from the contention. Dylan Cease with this hamstring injury. If it is multiple starts, Watson, he's probably out of it. Max Fried's out of it now. I mean, Davis Martin is someone that I popped at almost 60-1. He is right now second only to Cam Schlittler as far as individual pitching wins above replacement. He is 2.3. Schlittler is 2.7. Think about this too, Will, and you know it as a Yankee fan. They're going to do everything to be able to get him not only through the finish line of the regular season, but with enough ammo in the holster to be able to get through a lengthy postseason run. So it would not shock me if they try and limit his innings into the second half of the season so that he gets through it healthy, but more importantly, effective in October.
Yeah, and I gave out DeGrom a couple weeks ago, and he was like 15-1. He's down to 4-1. He hasn't even pitched that well. Yeah. I certainly would not be betting him at 4-1. You mentioned Cease is 5-1. Gavin Williams, I like the stuff. I mean, we all do, but 17-1. Eh, Soriano's cooled off a little bit, 22-1. Davis Martin's 30. McClanahan's 35. Gossman's 35. Rasmussen at 35-1. I've heard worse bets. I've made worse bets than that. That's not terrible. Parker Messick 60-1. I don't know. It feels like there's a bet in here somewhere. I just can't quite put my finger on what it would be.
Agreed. And I think if you're looking at narratives, right, you could hitch your wagon to one of the Cleveland starters. The way that they have played so far, it still defies imagination. Will, as an Indians, you know, a diehard for many years, and then seeing this iteration now with the Guardians, it's been a pitching factory. They've been able to grow them. They've been able to develop them. Gavin Williams came out of East Carolina with front of the rotation stuff, very Gerrit Cole-esque when you watch the delivery and how it plays. He's been really good. I think you're going to have that strikeout per nine, you know, as high as a Schlittler. And, you know, even Dylan Cease coming back, he said, I think he's pacing the American League right now at 13.5. So yeah, I would have to believe that there is some part of a team narrative that's going to play in here for where this eventual AL Cy Young race ends up when we get to September.
Yeah, an MVP right now, Judge minus 135. I mean, the rightful favorite. Do I want to bet minus 135 and tie up my money till, you know, basically Thanksgiving for a 135? Not really. Witt, like you mentioned, plus 350. Alvarez has been tremendous, plus 650. And we'll get to this. Alvarez might not be in the American League the whole year, and the team's not very good. I would not be betting the plus 650. Kurtz is 10-1. My guy, Ben Rice, still 20-1. I don't mind that. I mean, it's not 150-1 like it was, whatever, 6 weeks ago, but 20-1, not the worst bet I've ever heard.
I think that the other guy that, and I had said it a couple weeks ago, Shea Langeliers right now is just a really fascinating case study. Him and Kurtz, what they've been doing atop the Athletics lineup, and albeit, hey, it's a first place Athletics team as we enter play this week. You know, you look at his numbers and maybe even go back to the middle of last season or even the beginning of last season. Like, he's on par with all the big boys, and he's not going to get a lot of run because of playing out on the West Coast and in Sacramento in a quote-unquote minor league ballpark, but the numbers don't lie, man. I mean, he has been a force to be reckoned with. We all looked at Kurtz at the beginning of the year, and he still found his way up there. That's a pretty dynamic duo. If you want to take a shot in a longer number, yeah, that might be a place to start there considering how good they've been thus far.
Who does win the AL West in your mind?
I'm very worried about the Athletics pitching staff. I mean, they've been able to kind of hold their mud at this point, but I picked Seattle at the beginning of the year. It's hard to get away from them here, Will. They're just starting to turn the corner offensively, and it's too deep of a pitching staff. They generate so much swing and miss. Now, how many balls in play are you going to have in a series against them? I think it's a matter of time. I don't buy the Rangers offense for an entire season. They're very top heavy if you get healthy DeGrom and Eovaldi and kind of knowing what Mackenzie Gore has brought and Rocker and Leiter. But their bullpen's been really good. I mean, it's an unders paradise at Globe Life Field. I've never seen anything like it because that's usually where an offense has been pretty good. So I'll stick with my Mariners preseason pick, and I think they eventually find their way to the top.
What team is Scooble on in 2 months? I go back to Ohtani a few years ago. You get to the point where it just, and starting some of the things coming out now that they could have had Caminero and all these guys, it makes them look even worse. At some point here, you have to say, you know what, it's not our year. We're 12 games under 500 entering play on Tuesday. That's something where you can restock the farm system. You're probably not winning a championship. I know they made a crazy run 2 years ago, and ironically, they coughed one up last year. So and it's not a great division, so I know they're not out of it. But at some point here, you have to have that conversation. Life on the line. He's on what team in 2 years? In 2 months?
I would love nothing more than Alex Anthopoulos to pick up the phone in Atlanta and say, let's rock and roll, Chris Sale and Tarek Skubal. And I mean, again, if you are trying to run down the Dodgers, look what you're up against, right? You got a lot of left-handed bats. you want to generate left-handed swing and miss. It feels like if there's a team that could generate it, I don't know what the return package would be there. But if you want to make a splash move and a blockbuster trade, knowing that you're trying to slay the beast in the National League, how ridiculous would that rotation be? And let's see what happens if Spencer Schwellenbach finds his way back later this year. I don't know if they have the capital to be able to swing it, because Detroit is going to demand a ransom. But just thinking ahead, man, if you have that two-headed monster of Sale and Scooble through into the divisional round, and then if it is Dodgers Braves for all the marbles in the National League, I'll tell you what, I'll be ready to go to war with that bullpen behind me as well.
I had the same thought with Philly. Look, you plug them into any of these teams, it's going to sound good. And Padres are always in the mix. I don't buy the fact that the Yankees, first of all, the Yankees don't do this stuff anymore. When George was around, there was always a big splash for the big player, whether they need him or not. That's just not how they operate anymore. Plus, I mean, the one thing they really don't need, I mean, everyone could use a Scooble. I don't buy that they're going to, you know, unload for Scooble. But Philly, if Philly somehow, and I don't know the prospect situation, what it would take if they have it, but if you could start a playoff series in some order, Scooble, Wheeler, Sanchez, I don't know who's one, who's three. Good luck. It's almost like Philly, what was it, 15 years ago with Oswalt, Holiday, who we
Cliff
just
Lee.
Mentioned, and,
yeah.
And Cliff Lee, yeah.
That's a great – so think about that. Holiday, Lee, Cole Hamels, Oswalt, and the modern day of that, potentially if you stick him in Philly – I mean, it's Sanchez, Scooble, however you want to divvy that up. Zach Wheeler's your three coming back off injury. And then Jesus Luzardo is your four. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. That would be unbelievable if Dave Dombrowski could pull that off.
Well, plus, I mean, they're kind of go for it team too. Dombrowski's famously, for better or for worse, will say, "Hey, I don't really care about the prospects. I'm trying to, you know, have a parade this year." Plus, you know, how long is that? How long is that runway? How open is that window with Schwarber, Harper, Turner, Real Muto? All those guys are older. You figure, you know what? We only got maybe one or two chances at this. Let's go for it now. So that would be an interesting one. Again, I don't know if they have any interest, but that one at least jumped to my mind. Rafael Devers, Yordan Alvarez, either of those guys get traded, both of them, anyone else in terms of trade candidates, you could see swinging a race here.
Yeah, it would. I mean, if Devers is going to go find his way, again, are you just DHing him or are you bringing him in to play first? I mean, you think about American League teams that obviously could use him. Oh, I know a place about Boston. You know, there's going to be a couple of places that if you wanted to get different, that would be an intriguing spot. I mean, hell, if you're the Pirates, I know that you're not going to pay the salary, so that's the hard part there, is where the contract in the Albatross is. But boy, would he fit absolutely wonderfully for what they've got going right now. You know, the Cubs are an easy answer, but you know, you already have Michael Busch, so that really kind of defeats the purpose there. It would have to be probably, I mean, I know you've got Yandy there, that's DHing for Tampa, but man alive, does that all of a sudden give you an aircraft carrier along with Junior Caminero in the middle of a Rays lineup? They have probably the potential of prospects and big leaguers to get it done. I think Yordan is going to be the most sought after guy. It just makes the most sense, right? And be very interested to see where the Astros are. The one caveat, Will, remember, if you look at this week, the Angels, the last place team in the American League, they're only, what, six games out of a playoff spot? That, I think, is really going to be one of the key things to remember. And then also, we don't really have the framework of a working agreement for the CBA and all the backdrop of the salary cap and salary floor, all those rumors. Think of this and factor this in, too, if you're playing futures. There are teams that are already going to make deals with the premonition a cap is going to be involved. That will drastically change what compensation is like from traditional trade deadlines of the past. It will be very different when we see that in early August.
College baseball, the short shots to win it all, UCLA, Georgia Tech, and Texas, all in that 5-6-1 range, Georgia 8-1, everyone else double digits or longer. If I gave you a $100 free bet, winning the whole thing, what would be the best way to use it right now?
Florida Gators. Well, you need power pitching, and when you have maybe the best, one of the best 1-2 punches, Aiden King, Liam Peterson, both of them high. I mean, Liam Peterson is hitting 100 miles an hour in Hoover in the SEC tournament. They got a couple wipeout guys in the back of their bullpen, and their offense is starting to swing it really well. They have arguably the best coach remaining right now in Kevin O'Sullivan. He's got a timeshare in Omaha because they've been there so much. I love Florida and their path there as a number 8 national seed. They win the Gainesville Regional. They'll automatically host the Supers. And I don't know who's coming out of that number 9 with Southern Miss and Hattiesburg. I think they got a clear path through. And I would say if North Carolina can survive, you would talk about group of death, little World Cup, synergy here. The Chapel Hill Regional, they did no favors to the Tar Heels. But if North Carolina finds their way through, they're really, really deep, Will. They don't hit a ton of homers, but they can pitch up and down. And that's what you got to do when you get to TD Ameritrade Park there at Charles Schwab Field. So I love Florida right now, the way they're trending. And I think North Carolina worth a play as well.
Anything this weekend you're looking to bet? Anything this weekend you have a strong opinion on?
I will be inundated, my friend, in Morgantown. Daily doubleheaders there. Excited to get down there. It is going to be a wild atmosphere. Those people are nuts about their team. So I'll be looking in on it, but I will be knee deep in college playoffs for sure.
Are you hosting in the morning and then doing doubleheaders?
I am actually going to host on Thursday, which is the workout day for all 4 of the teams in the regional. And then the Moose, Mark Malusis, in for me on Friday. We have the first game of the day at noon on ESPN2. Wake Forest and Kentucky, maybe one of the best pitching matchups of the entire first day. Keep this guy in mind, Jackson Jelkin, who is the starter probably for Kentucky. He's going to be an early name off the board in this year's MLB draft. An electric arm, a lot of personality. Cannot wait to get that one underway at high noon.
What's the restaurant situation in Morgantown look like?
Probably won't matter. It's going to be good. Whatever's available, and we'll have some of the local fodder. Always one of my favorites. Whatever college town you get to, got to ask the locals where to go. So can't wait. I'll take some pictures for you and see what we can get ourselves into.
Please do. Bill, last one or two here. Best college player. I know the UCLA kid just smokes the ball. Is he going to be the first pick? Is he a lock? Was that who you'd go with? Who are, for the Major League Baseball fans listening that don't really watch or care that much about college, even though, anyone that watches it, you like baseball, you'll enjoy it. Who are the 2, 3, 4 like kind of guys here that you're looking for or that are tomorrow's stars here in Major Leagues?
Yeah, Rock is going to be great. I would say he's your consensus top guy. Daniel Jackson, a power hitting catcher for Georgia, has been absolutely a revelation. This is a team that absolutely pulverizes. I had the Athens Regional last year. It is nothing but homers, man. And he leads one of the more vaunted offenses in all of baseball. And as I said, if you're looking on the pitching side, I really wish Dax Whitney would not have gotten hurt for Oregon State. He probably would have been your top arm, but we'll have probably a fair amount of aces that are going to get their chances. So I think, again, if you're looking for some power pitching, as I said, the Gators are going to have 2 of the best in Aiden King and Liam Peterson. But we got a lot of young talent, man, a lot of great ones. Georgia Tech's offense is one to watch, too. They've been averaging double-digit runs all year. They will absolutely decimate opposing pitching staffs. That's a great offense that's going to travel anywhere they go.
Yeah, I forget what podcast or what show I was listening to. Somebody said they had him from 50-1. I don't know if it was before the year, not that long ago, but I know that was a number that was way up there, and they've come down, obviously, in the 4-1 range, 5-1 range. But it's exciting, man. Fun time of the year. Jensen, appreciate a little time here. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Absolutely. On X at JLew50. That's JLEWFIFTY. And, of course, weekdays, By the Books, hosting with my man Dave Ross, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. So enjoy the week. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. And I can't wait to see what happens not only this weekend in college baseball, but in the big leagues as well.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Jensen Lewis. We will be back on Friday. Will we have a Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals to preview to see who's about to take on the Knicks? I think we might. I hope we will. We will see then, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening.